In the name of him who is the Lord of all the nations, our Lord Jesus Christ, in his precious name, amen. The theme for tonight is, Whom Shall I Send? And it's from Isaiah chapter 6. You may want to look at that text this evening, Old Testament reading of Isaiah chapter 6. If you're a visitor with us tonight and do not have a copy of the Bible at home, please take one of the pew Bibles as our gift to you so that you can read and study God's Word. Tonight, this weekend, is Trinity weekend, and we celebrate God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. How great and wonderful, how awesome and majestic, how inexplainable, how incomprehensible God is as Father, Son, and Spirit. In tonight's Old Testament reading, you see a glimpse, a glimmer of the Trinity. Maybe you remember that from Genesis. In Genesis, the Spirit of God hovering over the water who creates. And what John tells us, John the Evangelist, is that as God created, there at the very beginning, it was Jesus who created, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Without Jesus, nothing is that was created, John chapter 1 tells us. And tonight, in the Old Testament reading, we see a glimmer, a glimpse also, of the Trinity before us. In Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah says, in the year that King Uzziah died, and historically, that was around the year 750 BC. Just to put that into historical context, that was just a few years before Rome was founded. In that year, Isaiah said, when King Uzziah died, God gave me a vision, and I saw the throne room of God. And what I saw was God, the magnificent, God inexpressible, God there on his throne. He was high and lifted up, and his robe filled the whole temple. His presence was in that place. And as I saw God high and lifted up, I saw before me also angels of God, the seraphim. And the seraphim were above God. And what the text tells us is these six winged creatures served the Lord and flew above the throne. Now, what we don't see pictured here, at least as Isaiah says it, is what John saw in the same scene. You can imagine, if you remember Revelation, that there also before the throne were the four living creatures and the 24 elders and myriads of angels, thousands and thousands and thousands upon thousands, Revelation tells us. John says those things in Revelation, and here Isaiah says, I saw these six-winged seraphim, and with two wings they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew about the throne of God. And what our text tells us is that they sang praises to him. From Isaiah chapter 6, we're reminded that as they sang, as they spoke, they sang, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. His robe fills all that place where God is. His glory fills everything. As the seraphim sang, here's the first clue, I think, of the Trinity in our text. Did they sing, Holy is God? No, they sang, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. He is three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And as Isaiah saw all of this taking place, Isaiah recognized who he was himself. And what he recognized as he heard the angels singing, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty, the whole earth is full of his glory. He saw God's glory, but he recognized his own sinfulness. Isaiah called out, Woe to me! I am not who I ought to be. Woe to me, because I know my own sin. He said, I am a man of unclean lips. What comes out of my mouth is not always righteous and good. It's not always what it ought to be. And in the presence of holy God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Isaiah knew his own sin. And he knew that he didn't deserve to be before God and may not even survive seeing God. You see, sin, unrighteousness, unholiness cannot exist in the presence of holy God. God wipes out, God destroys sin. And Isaiah was worried about himself. But secondly, our text tells us he was worried also, woe to me, because he realized that he lived with humanity, sinful humanity. I live among a people of unclean lips. They too, those around me, no one does what's righteous and good. And that's what the New Testament tells us from Romans. None is righteous, no, not one. None of us is righteous and able to stand before holy God. Isaiah recognized the holiness, the perfection of God. Holy, holy is the Lord Almighty, who was and is and will be. And in seeing this, in recognizing his situation, he was concerned about himself and literally all of humanity. God knew what he needed. God knew Isaiah's sin, and so God had a remedy for Isaiah. What our text tells us is one of those seraphim went to the altar of God, where the incense was burning before God, where there were the live coals, and with the tongs, he took one of those coals and flew to Isaiah and touched his tongue. And as that took place, as the seraphim came, as Isaiah was touched by the hand of God in this special way, when that took place, then the angel announced to him, your guilt is gone. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin is atoned for. What you couldn't do, Isaiah, what no man could do for himself, what no woman could do for herself, God has done for you. He has taken away your guilt. Don't worry. Don't fear. Don't be afraid. Don't think you can do it. Your sin is atoned for. God Almighty himself has come among us, among his people, to give us what we couldn't do ourselves, namely the forgiveness of sins. And when Isaiah recognized that his guilt was taken away, his sin was atoned for, then God called out, whom shall I send? And listen to this part, who will go for us, not for me, but for us. God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit said, who can we send to accomplish our purpose and to do that for which we send them? It was at that time, knowing that his sins had been atoned for, his guilt had been taken away, that Isaiah said, here I am, here am I, send me, I will go for you. And that's exactly what Isaiah did. Isaiah, called by God, forgiven by God, sent by God. And Isaiah was one of the greatest of the Old Testament prophets. As we read all of the New Testament, Isaiah is quoted so frequently. And some of you who are in the Bible study I'm teaching now in Revelation on Sunday morning have seen again the quotes of Isaiah. They're in the last book of Scripture. Isaiah, one of the greatest prophets sent by God, who speaks to us a word of the Savior. Remember the one who wrote about the virgin who would bear a son? That was Isaiah. Isaiah, speaking about Jesus, speaking about Mary, speaking about Jesus coming into the world to be the Savior of the world, one of God's greatest prophets sent by God to carry the message of the gospel so that others too who were worried and fearful could know that God had accomplished his will through the life and death and resurrection of Jesus. You and I need to hear the word that Isaiah heard. The world in which we live needs to hear the word and the promise that Isaiah heard. Because there are so many in our world today, too, who cry out, "Woe to me!" We might say it not as fancy as that. "I am a man undone," but we would know in our own heart of hearts how difficult our situation is. How many among us and how many of you sometimes feel alone? How many of you are afraid because of the world in which we live, or as you see your own sin and you know your own shortcoming, you know your sinfulness, and we feel guilty because we are not the men we ought to be, the husbands we ought to be, the women we ought to be, the mothers and wives we ought to be. We're not who God calls us to be as sons and daughters of the Holy One, Him who is holy, holy, holy. And so we too might, like Isaiah, say, "I am undone. I am a man of sinful lips, and I live among a people of sinful lips. Who will help? Who will save?" And God does. God knows your need just like He knew Isaiah's. And on the altar of the cross, Jesus was the sacrifice given for you. Jesus died in your place to forgive your sin, to atone for your sin, so that your guilt is taken away and your sin is atoned for. Your shortcomings, your failures, your sin is forgiven. And God touches you so that you would know that forgiveness is yours. The angel took the coal from the altar and touched Isaiah's lips, and what God the Holy Spirit does is He touches your head through the waters of baptism. Many of you, most of us here, have been baptized. If there's someone who's not been baptized tonight, I would invite and encourage you to talk with Pastor or with me following the service, and we can talk with you about baptism, how God comes in those waters and touches your head with the waters of baptism. Not just the water, but the word. The word, the promise, the command to be baptized, and the promise that those who are baptized and believe have the gift of eternal life. Just as surely as God touched Isaiah, God touches you in the waters of baptism. Just as surely as Isaiah was touched with the coal, we come to the altar tonight, and we receive the bread and the wine, the body and blood of Christ. And when it touches our tongues, our lips, just like the coal from the altar, our sins are forgiven. Our guilt is paid for, and you are free. Free and forgiven in the body and blood of Christ for you. Just as surely as the seraphim brought that coal and touched Isaiah, God touches us. He reaches our minds through our ears, through the preaching of His word and the reading of His word. God touches us, and God calls to us tonight, "Who will go for us? Who shall I send?" And our prayer is that God would help us answer as did Isaiah. So the good Lutheran question for us is, what does this mean? What does it mean for our church? Well, I believe that God may be calling us to plant a new church, and we've been talking about that recently. God may be calling us to start another service, an additional service, in a way to reach people that we don't presently reach. So what does it mean for us when God says, "Who will go for us? Who shall I send?" I hope Holy Cross answers, "Here we are. Send us, Lord." One of the things that we'll do in tomorrow afternoon's meeting is we'll talk about the future of our church. And I hope that you'll be with us for that meeting, as Pastor described earlier, so that we can pray together and talk together and work together and look for God's direction for our congregation. What does it mean for you? The people in this place. God sends us not just as a congregation, but He individually sent Isaiah, and He sends you too. You can be afraid. We can be fearful. But God has dealt with our sins. Our guilt is put away and our sin is forgiven. May we answer, "Here we are, Lord, send us, send us." During this past week, you may have heard or read, like I did, about religion and faith in the United States. The headline was eye-catching, "Christians Lose Ground." The nuns, those who say that they're not connected with others, the nuns soar in a new portrait of U.S. religion. The article, first line, was even more alarming. The United States is significantly less Christian, a less Christian country, than it was 7 years ago. The percentage of atheists and agnostics in the United States is growing. Persecution of Christians is on the rise. Christian morals and values are increasingly denounced in the public square. But this shouldn't scare us, and this need not surprise us. The church has always been countercultural. From the very first, from the time of Isaiah, the people of unclean lips needed to hear the message of the gospel that Isaiah was given to be able to proclaim to them. We need to set aside time every day to be in God's word and to pray. We need to know our catechisms, and more importantly, we need to know the Holy Scriptures, so that as we are confronted and as we speak, we can speak the word of God powerfully, that we might say, as Isaiah did, "Here am I, send me, send me." And so we do our daily devotions as a congregation. We do so as families and as individuals, so that we together can speak for the Lord as He calls and sends us to go. As we celebrate this weekend the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as we see a glimpse, as Isaiah did, of God high and lifted up, filling His throne and all the world, may we hear Him calling us as a congregation and as individuals to go into our world with the precious message of the gospel. Lord, I hear you calling. Send me. Send me. For Jesus' sake, let it be so. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Him who is holy, 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 God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen.